We started our Christmas series, and today is the fourth message of the series. That makes the Grandpa feel special right there. And week one, we saw how Christmas has lost its meaning. And we saw why. Because everyone loves Jesus, so long as you don't define who he truly is. And so we've been looking at the importance of knowing who this baby in the manger is. Not just a cute little guy that lays in a manger, but who God has proclaimed and told us he is and what his purpose is, what he requires from us. On the first week, we saw that he is God in the flesh. He's the holy seed of God placed in the flesh so he could suffer for you and I. On week two, we saw that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised and anointed one from God, coming in the form of Son of God. And the apostles who knew him best gave their lives to proclaim his message. Last week, we were ministered to by the kids, and we saw that he is the promised one, that 700 years before his birth, 700 years before God would be incarnate, God prophesied through a man named Isaiah how Emmanuel, Jesus, would be born and what suffering he would go through. Today's the last Sunday before we celebrate Christmas, the day that we set aside to celebrate the coming of God to earth. We celebrate the coming of the one who offers salvation, forgiveness for sins to all who believe. Now, when he came, his person was declared from the heavens. And we're going to look at that today. Because we sang a song already. One of the songs we already sang is considered to be one of the oldest Christmas songs ever. First sang in Rome, 129 A.D., from the Latin, originally called Gloria. We know it as Angels We Have Heard on High. Originally written in 129 A.D. and sang in Rome. But in the 1800s, it was adopted by the French. In about 1862, the song was translated into English. And the version we know today, that we sing today, was publicized in 1916. So if you'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to see just this proclamation. It's kind of amazing that we sing a song that 2,000 years ago Rome was singing. And then eventually we are privileged to have it. But it's the recognition of what the angels proclaimed over 2,000 years ago. In Luke chapter 2, go down to verse 8. It's a text that we're familiar with this time of the year, but I haven't preached directly from it for a while, but a very important text and a proclamation of the person of Jesus. In Luke 2, 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for being right here with us. We thank you for the celebration we have, that you loved us so much. You put on flesh to suffer for us. Lord, I ask that you challenge hearts today, that we be comforted in your love, comforted in your work. And Lord, we be committed to our walk with you. If there's someone here that's never called upon your name for salvation, this could be the day of salvation, Lord. But let us celebrate together that you are good. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Familiar with this short text here, but the first thing we see here is the announcement. You know, imagine this experience for the shepherds. Now, I'm not going to break it down as deep as usual, but they're sitting, watching over their sheep, probably a group of them together, keeping warm by the fire because of the chilly nights, chatting about the football game. Probably in their day, it was like pin the tail in the donkey tournament. I don't know. You go with it. Bragging about their kid winning that tournament, telling stories, used to their normal routine. It was the same thing day in and day out. That their goal was to keep the sheep safe and away from any trouble. But suddenly we see in verse 9, about halfway through, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. The glory of the Lord suddenly upon them in this dark place. Middle of the night. If you know anything about the glory of God, you know it's bright. It's brighter than anything you're familiar with. See, when the Shekinah of glory came down into the temple, the tabernacle of the Old Testament, the Shekinah of glory is the presence of God that would come into his dwelling place in that tabernacle. The light would shine out of the tabernacle. It was so bright, it lit the whole place. There was light that shined from that place. When Revelation tells of the new heaven and new earth, after God eliminates what we're familiar with, when we make it to, as we would call, heaven or our eternal home, there will be no more sun, stars, or moon. There'll be no more source of light, because all light will come from the light, Christ himself, from God himself. All light comes from him. We won't need light because God is the light. There won't even be shadows. There'll be that much light. When these shepherds were sitting around in the darkness of the night, these angels appeared and God's glory was shining off of them. Now understand this. When you are in the presence of God, he makes a change in you. When you have a true relationship with him and walk with him, you are changed by him. You're conformed by him when you have a serious relationship with him. Remember, Moses went up to the mountain and spent 40 days with God. And when he came back, his face shined so much it freaked everybody out. He had to wear a mask so they would talk to him. You understand, when you walk with God and you let God conform your life, it's going to look weird to the world because darkness is gone. That's the shine. That's the bright that came down with these angels. When it says that the glory of God was round about them, it lit them up. They were in the center of a spotlight. They were freaked out. Well, you see there in verse 9, it says they were sore afraid. That doesn't mean they went, ooh. I think they had issues that day. They weren't used to this. This is abnormal. Shepherds were nobodies. They were lowlifes. They were dirty, stinky, uneducated outcasts of the society. That's how they were looked at. People didn't come to them with good news. They were experiencing a powerful experience that they would never expect someone to come to them. Notice the angels appearing throughout Jesus' life. The angels appeared to declare Jesus. They announced his coming to Mary and Joseph. They sing at his birth. They minister to Jesus after the temptation. They appear at his tomb. They appeared at his ascension. They were all around ministering at all times. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school. Understand this. Angels ain't about angels. We shouldn't worship angels. We shouldn't get carried away with angels. Angels' job was always to point to Christ, to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The scripture tells us the same with the Holy Spirit. We don't worship the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't call for attention to himself. The Holy Spirit is all about bringing you to Jesus. His whole job is to make Jesus known, to bring conviction of sin so you come to Jesus for forgiveness. It's all about Jesus here. And the heavenly angels came. They were glorifying God. There's this bright light that scared them to death. Shepherds are probably asking for some new britches right now, yeah? They're scared. They're frightened. You understand that the angel's purpose here was not to shock them. You may have heard of the three men that were stranded on an island. There's an American, a Canadian, a Japanese. They're all stuck on this island, and they make a plan. American says, listen, I'm going to build a shelter. Canadian, I want you to go find food for us. And the Japanese, you go out and find some supplies, whatever we're going to need. The American builds a neat shelter. The Canadian comes back with food. And so they go ahead and eat. They sleep that night. They get up the next morning, and they're like, Japanese guys haven't returned. Let's go look for them. So they go out, and just as they go around a corner, the Japanese jumps out and says, supplies! You see that? You like it? Approved, Belinda. Understand, that wasn't the angel's purpose to just bring supplies. The angels had a message. The message, notice this in this passage, as the shepherds are freaked out, scared out of their mind, probably think they're done, probably think this is judgment from God, that they're about to be dead. This is certain death. Understand, this is a bad thing. The shepherds like, we're in trouble. We're not worthy of this. And the angel responds in verse 10, fear not. Fear not. Now, you think it's a little bit too late? The shepherd's like, no, you're a little late for that one, buddy. We're freaked out. But understand, the angel was saying, fear not, because he's not bringing condemnation. He's not bringing punishment. He's not bringing bad news. The angel come to console them and to give them hope. He came excited for what's about to happen. In verse 10, he continues, he says, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to who? All people. The reason the angel is here is to bring joy that can comfort the heart. More than a temporary laughter, but joy of peace. He came to proclaim good things, something that affects all people, everyone, even shepherds. You had to make that clear because those poor shepherds are probably saying, no one ever comes to us with good news. We're just shepherds. We're just to take care of these stinky animals. He says, no, this is for all people. This good news is for hubbies, it's for wives, it's for boys, it's for girls, it's for stay-at-home moms, it's for career moms, it's for the disabled, it's for the rich, it's for the poor, it's for the mechanic, it's for the farmer, it's for the teachers, the truck driver, the military, for the nurses, for doctors, for accountants, for secretaries, for waiters, it's even for pastors. This is good news that the angel is declaring is for you. It's for me. Anybody out there? Is this good news for you? The angel comes with good news. Now the shepherds are sitting there still confused. You know why? Because they're normal people like you and I. They're normal characters on earth. They're working. They're not used to this. And the angel explains the reason for joy. Did you catch the reason for joy? Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. See, they've announced the greatest event to take place up to this day. A day that had been proclaimed through the Old Testament. The Jews are familiar with Isaiah's promises. What Jeremiah had proclaimed. What is in the book of Micah. They knew these promises of the coming Savior. And the angel is saying, he's here. He's here. The promised Messiah is Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world. The one we spoke about last week here at First Baptist when we looked back at the first promise that God said He will crush the skull of the enemy. He'll crush the devil and his work. He will defeat death. We saw in here last week that the prophet Isaiah said that God was coming to us. And there's over 100 other prophecies that the coming Christ was fulfilled at his birth. See, the angel is proclaiming the presence of God is here. Is that good tidings? Does that bring great joy? Remember the angel approaching Joseph when Joseph is trying to decide what to do with his pregnant fiance. Joseph, no, I ain't never touched her. This is humiliating. As the world would see her as a whore. It's not acceptable. And he's trying to figure out what's going on, and the angel comes to Joseph in Matthew 1:23. He says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. He says to Joseph, "Don't you worry. That lady you're about to marry, she's pure. She's actually holding the Holy One. She's the one Isaiah promised." What he's doing here is the angel is quoting Isaiah 7:14. When Isaiah gave a promise that Emmanuel would come to us, meaning God with us. See, the God of heaven put on flesh and came and dwelt amongst us. In that same passage, we see the name of Jesus. Just in Matthew 1:21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." His name will be Jesus. Remember, this is good tidings. The God that the angel just brought to the shepherd. Why is it good? Because it's Jesus. You know the name Jesus translated means Savior? He will save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21 tells us. He came to earth with a purpose, with a mission. You know what that mission was? John 3:17 tells us. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus came to earth with a mission. God himself put on flesh and dwelt amongst us. Why? So that we might be saved. Jesus didn't come as an enemy or to condemn. He came as a loving friend and as a brother, one that would lay down his life for his friend so that you can be his friend, so that you can be saved, so that I can be his child. Is that good tidings? It's awfully quiet in here. It's the quietest celebration I've been to. Whoop, whoop. This is good news. You see, with the excitement of the birth of Jesus Christ, with the recognition of who he is and the good works that he will perform, the excitement of the Savior being on earth, the angels are excited. They make a proclamation. Look at Luke 2, our text today. Go down to verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, goodwill toward men." Whew. Is that good news? You're saying a multitude of angels came. They heard the one talking, and you ain't celebrating by yourself. Understand, if you see somebody out here praising God, jump in and join them. Oh, the angel here comes down and proclaims, "Listen, I've got good news." And other angels are here. Yeah, we're going to say it with you. We're excited with you. A multitude of angels, more than we can count, a number, came and started proclaiming glory to God in the highest. It's a call to worship him. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. Honor and worship the Lord. Fall down humbly before him. Lift his name on high. Proclaim him. Why? Remember what the angel said has come? He has sent peace. He has sent peace. Jesus is God's manifest love to us. Jesus shows the love of God. He came to us to bring forgiveness. Understand, why did Christ come? Christ didn't just come to forgive. He came to pay for sins. He doesn't just simply declare you forgiven. He says, I take your sinfulness and I suffer for you. He came in the flesh so that he could die for us, to give a payment, an account before God for us, that your sin was paid for. That's the greatest love of all. It is a sacrifice of self so that you can benefit. Is this good tidings? Is this good news? So the call is to worship God, because Christ has brought reconciliation. Jesus brings peace with the Holy One. Jesus brings you peace with the Holy One. Let me ask you this. We can go through the laws of the Old Testament. And the scripture tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. Each one of us has sinned before a holy God. We have violated him. We are deserving of what we call hell. We are deserving of eternal damnation. There is no peace, because God can have no relationship with sinfulness. He is the Holy One. And yet Jesus Christ came to absorb that sinfulness from you into his own body and suffer for it, so that you can have peace. Is that love? Is that good tidings? Is that good news to all people? What do they say? Glory to God in the highest. It's a plenty of reason we should give glory to God in the highest. Or as the portion we like to sing in Latin, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. Is he worthy of our worship? Oh, yeah, he is. With such good news, there's a call to worship. And that's what we see now, is a time to worship. These shepherds just experienced something powerful. A light like no other about them. A message of hope and joy. A call to give God glory. And now it's time to act. Sometimes we can be challenged by the Word of God. We can hear good news. We can hear the love of God. But do we act upon it, or do we just retain knowledge? Let me tell you this. If you just retain knowledge, it's worthless to you. Scripture actually tells you knowledge puffeth up. And we've been seeing a lot on Wednesday nights now, the difference in knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is your smarts. Wisdom is the application of those smarts. If you don't apply the Word of God to your life, if you don't act upon the message that you receive, the message is worthless to you, and all it does is help you harden your heart more and more to God. But when you hear the good news of the work of Jesus Christ, and you hear the call to repentance, you better act upon it, amen? Some of them are shy, thank you. And so I challenge you, how much of God's Word do you simply know? And then I can really make it ugly. How much of God's Word do I simply know? To see it's personal. But you see, these shepherds heard the good news. And they had to act. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. See, they wanted to see Jesus for themselves. It was too powerful a message to blow off. He said, let us make it known to ourselves. It's good to hear stuff, but it's better when we can witness it. If all you know from God's Word is what the pastor regurgitates on you on Sunday morning, you're pretty weak. If you'll take what the pastor regurgitates and you chew on it some more, take that as you will, and it causes you to go home and search the Scriptures for yourself, you know how much higher blessing you have, how much deeper you are, here the shepherd is. This guy that's looked at as a nobody. The guy that smells funny because he's playing with sheep all the time. He said, no, let's find somewhere to put our sheep, somewhere safely. Let's hire some boys to watch them because we got a great thing we got to go search out now. We're going to go see what this promise is. See, this here is the purpose of evangelism. This is the purpose for preaching Christ crucified. This is the purpose of being a witness for Christ day in and day out. This is the reason we shine as a light when we're in school, when we're at work, when we're at our home, when we're talking to our neighbors, that we're to be Christ-like because we never know when someone is ready to say, I need to find this out for myself. We want them to have a personal relationship with Christ. Our desire is that they want to know Jesus for themselves, that they can see their personal need of a Savior. They too need personal relationship. That they too can be excited and confident about the good tidings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I want from everybody I get to witness to, be a part of their life, is that they once say, which the Lord made known unto me. That God sent the message to me, I better respond. When someone will humble themselves and recognize their need of Jesus, they approach him in faith, look what's going to happen. Verse 20. Go down to verse 20. And a shepherd's return. This is after visiting Christ at the manger. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. They personally just got excited. They began to worship. Glory to God in the highest. They were praising God. They're on a high. They're excited. You know why? Not because the preacher said so. Not because mama said it. Not because they read a tract. But because all those things together caused them to search Christ for themselves. That's what we want, isn't it? That we live a life that points to Christ. We live a life glorifying God in the highest. So that others see us glorifying God and say, let me search this a little bit deeper. Let me know him a little bit better. And where did this all start? It started because they were listening to the angels, praise God. It started because they were listening to the angels, praise God. They were seeing authentic excitement for Jesus. When each one of us recognize Jesus and start to praise God with our lives, whether we worship him in song, we worship him through obedience, we worship him with our lives, that's when we become the loudest witness possible. Because then others can see through us, and they see in our lives that we truly mean glory to God in the highest. We're going to close today proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Savior of this world. Would you stand with me today? Another song that we sing about the same passage, about the angels declaring who Jesus is, hark the herald angels sing. So let's sing these two verses real loud together.